Earlier this month, after Saddam Hussein sent his tanks into the Kurdish town of Erbil in northern Iraq, and after the U.S. responded with cruise missile attacks, the United States announced it was freezing the U.N.'s plan to ease 6 years of economic sanctions against Iraq. The U.N. agreement would have allowed Iraq to sell oil abroad for the first time since it invaded Kuwait in 1990, so that it could use the proceeds to purchase much-needed food and medicine for the nation's deprived population. The deal would have alleviated some of the worst effects of the stifling trade embargo imposed on Iraq. But during his recent trip to Baghdad, NPR's Mike Schuster found that while some Iraqis are suffering from sanctions, others are benefiting greatly.
This is Saddam Square in the center of Saddam City, a vast slum of 1 million people in East Baghdad. It's early evening and the square is teeming with people, buying and selling, hustling to make a living. Under the shadow of a huge mural of Saddam Hussein, a young man named Bassam stops to talk. A half dozen heavily armed police keep a crowd from forming, and the young man complains that the trade embargo has caused prices to rise so high that he cannot make ends meet on his meager salary of 4,000 dinar, roughly $4 a month.
It's only enough for about a few days. And 4, 5, or 6 days, and the rest I can depend on my father, which is a taxi driver. We can offer for us the rest of. Actually, I want to marry, and I can't even find the money for my marriage and my for my girl. What she want?
This is the most common complaint heard in the markets and on the streets of Baghdad. It's not that the UN-imposed economic sanctions have prevented Iraq from smuggling in most goods. You can find almost everything in Baghdad, from new BMWs to factory-fresh air conditioners. But the prices are way beyond the reach of the ordinary Iraqi. The other frequent complaint is that the trade embargo has hit children the hardest, with infant mortality skyrocketing and hospitals desperate for medicine and other vital supplies. At the government-run Saddam Children's Hospital in central Baghdad, children are dying every day, according to young Muhammad, one of the hospital's pediatricians. The intense heat of the summer months has overwhelmed the hospital with cases of dysentery and gastroenteritis, and there's not enough medicine or equipment to handle them. Plus, the elevators don't work. There are no spare parts to fix them. Sick patients must be carried up 6 flights of stairs. In the maternity ward, most of the incubators are broken too and spare parts non-existent. On this day, one newborn lies still and pale.
Is this baby alive?
I think he's a dead baby. He died before a few minutes. And they do a death certificate for him and discharge him.
Do you know what the condition of the baby was?
I think birth aspects, yeah.
For this and all the other suffering in this hospital, Dr. Muhammad blames the United States and the United Nations for refusing to remove the economic sanctions that continue to punish Iraq more than 5 years after the Gulf War ended.
The United States and United Nations, they are the main cause of this situation and miserable situation for the child. Child is child. What he do to United States or United Nations?
But the Saddam Children's Hospital does not tell the whole story of economic sanctions and Iraq. The elevator does work at St. Raphael Hospital across town. This is a private hospital. Patients, rich businessmen from around the country, can get most any care they need for a price. Dr. Shorpe Fawzi, one of St. Raphael's resident surgeons, makes a far better living than Dr. Muhammad at the Children's Hospital. But Dr. Fawzi complains that health in today's Iraq should not boil down to business like the buying and selling of, say, furniture.
Health is not to be compared with furniture. I think a furniture is to be laid in a shop, and if I have got the money, I'll buy it. If I haven't got the money, I will not buy it. Somebody else will buy it. But health is needed whether I am rich or I am poor.
The well-heeled of Baghdad can easily get better food as well as better medical care. Upstairs at the Honey Market, Western music floats quietly from a boombox, and there is cheese from France, fragrant soaps from Germany, and Twinings Earl Grey tea.
We're downstairs now, and there are three frozen food compartments, three deep freezers, basically. The first one, you open it, and there are big packages of ground beef, and, in fact, a large frozen oven-ready turkey with giblets. Open the second deep freezer, and here we've got frozen chickens and frozen pizza, chicken fillets, and then the third compartment here, we've got frozen shrimp, lots and lots of shrimp.
These inequities have not escaped the notice of the average Iraqi. Even the government handler assigned to keep a reporter under watch expresses irritation with the sanctions profiteers.
There are people who became richer after this war, and they are making wealth because of the war, and they want this sanction to be continuous because it's benefiting them. So they are building new palaces for themselves. They are having new cars, you can see, while the majority are suffering.
In fact, the only person building new palaces in Baghdad is Saddam Hussein. So in some ways, the sanctions have been good for the Iraqi leader. They have provided an external enemy on which to focus the nation's wrath, and they have enriched the Iraqi elite. It is entirely possible that Saddam did not want to see the sanctions soften through the UN oil for food deal. One Iraqi economics professor agrees. For his own protection, he must remain unidentified.
The sanction benefits the ruler, not the people. They are a sacrifice of this policy.
In which situation does the government of Iraq maintain more control? If there are sanctions, or if there are not sanctions?
They have a proverb, make the dog hungry, will follow you. The sanction to be continued in order to control the people. Without this,
there's less ability to control.
Right.
So the Clinton administration might have fallen into a trap set by Saddam Hussein earlier this month. The oil for food deal was about to go forward when Iraq sent its tanks to attack the Kurds in the north. In response, President Clinton put the oil for food deal on hold, and it's possible that's exactly what Saddam Hussein wanted him to do. This is Mike Schuster.